Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org. And now a message from the Rock of Gainesville.
I am going to finish up. They've given me a couple of minutes to speak, and which is good because that's all I need, because I have point three of my message from 3 weeks ago that I'm going to get to, and we're going to wrap this teaching up talking about faith that stands in a messed up world. And, you know, when you talk about a messed up world, there's all kinds of words you can use in that. We talk about it all the time here on staff that we live in a hurting world.
Yes, we do.
Everywhere you go, there are people hurting bad. You go to the grocery store, you go to the gas station, you go downtown, you go shopping, you go to work, people are mad, they're angry, they're hurting, they're struggling, and I believe that God has raised us up. Everybody that's sitting in this room this morning, those of you that are watching online, those of you that are watching at the Rock of Maypin in Jamaica, every single one of us, we're created for such a time as this. We're not an accident, and we weren't born in the wrong generation, the wrong season. This is our day. This is our opportunity. We're not going to be able to say, oh, God, but. I was the right person in the wrong century. No, you're the right person in the right time for such a time as this. And God wants to use every single one of us to fulfill his purpose and plan on planet Earth. And a part of that is loving the world that we're in, because they literally are hurting. Just go to the grocery store. Just try to walk across the parking lot to get in. You know, most of the time you're supposed to stop there. They have those little lines. You stop, let everybody go through. Go ahead. Come on, I'm waiting. But then you got people that'll run you over, blow their horn at you, give you the finger. Why? Why is our society so angry? Because without Jesus, you're empty. There is a huge emptiness in those who do not have a personal relationship with the living God. I am thankful for Reach Week, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Reach Week really was birthed out of us doing summer missions trips abroad, and Pastor Jamie catching hold of a vision 8 or 9 years ago that while we were gone on a trip, that maybe they could do something here. And it didn't start with this many people and this many projects. It started small, as everything does. And, you know, in September, we're going to be taking a team. I think there's a total of 31 of us going to Zambrano, Honduras. And it's going to be a great opportunity. We're going to receive a mission offering here in the next month or two, because we have a project down there that's going to cost about... Where's Gabe? 22,000? Is that what we're looking at? 15. It's going down. Awesome. $15,000 that Gabe and I don't either one have totally, so we're going to ask y'all to help us. But we're going to be doing a lot of work for Pastor Jimmy and Jessica and the incredible ministry they're doing in Honduras. And that's awesome and great, but everybody can't go overseas. Everybody doesn't have the grace to go overseas. Everybody didn't have the grace to get a passport. Everybody doesn't have the money or the strength or the, you know, maybe even the calling to go. But right before Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father, he's come to the earth. He's lived for 33 years. He's preached good news. He's healed sick people, raised dead people, fed hungry people, did all those things that we did this week. I don't think we raised anybody from the dead, but we did everything else. And right before Jesus is ascending back to the right hand of the Father, he says to his followers, history and the word tells us there are about 500 people on that spot where Jesus is about to defy gravity and ascend back to the presence of his Father.
And right before he goes, the disciples start asking him questions, and he's like, oh my gosh, when are y'all going to get it? But he says to them, go and wait for the gift that the Father promised. If you don't know what that gift is, go read John 14, 15, and 16. Jesus explains very clearly the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he says, he's going to come, but he's not coming until I'm gone. The disciples had spent 3.5 years with Jesus, seeing everything that he had accomplished. And every time I say this statement, all the religious heads almost break their necks. But Jesus was not enough. 3.5 years, they had seen it all. And they couldn't make it from sun up to sundown without doubt, fear, and unbelief coming out of their mouth. So Jesus said, the promise that the Father promised is the Holy Spirit. And if you'll go and wait, he's going to come. He's not coming several times. He's coming one time. The Holy Spirit was given. And he's never left since he came. Never left. And he says, when he comes, he's going to fill you. Acts chapter 1, if you wonder what I'm quoting here, Acts chapter 1, go read it, it's powerful. He says, when he comes, you're going to be filled with dunamis, power. And that power is going to transform your life, and you're going to go throughout all the world, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. How many of you have been to Jerusalem? About 10 folks. Awesome. Guess what? All of you have been to Jerusalem. It's called Gainesville. That's our Jerusalem. You don't have to get on a plane, buy a ticket, get a passport, go to Jerusalem to start. Gainesville is our Jerusalem. He said he's going to fill us with power. That power is going to give us the ability to be a witness in the earth that we live in. Guess what? We've done over this last week of Reach Week, we've been a witness. Lives have been touched. Some folks have been saved. Some folks have had faith spurred in their hearts. Some homeless people have found a little bit of hope. Hungry people have gotten a meal or several meals. And for those of you that didn't, Jamie didn't fully explain it. He did pretty well, but I'm going to go ahead and finish the story. Foster, Florida, what those people were doing in cooking those meals is they were preparing meals, freezing them. Every freezer we had on campus was full of food. I was tempted to take one or two every once in a while because, man, they were frozen solid, but just the recipe on top was incredible. And I opened the freezer a couple of times. Nancy, what's this? Foster family, Florida, whatever it is. They feed a lot of children. And man, think about having a family of mom, dad, 2 or 3 kids, and then you open up your home to 1 more, 2 more, 3 more, 5 more, and have to feed them 3 times a day, every day. Don't get to take a break. Don't get to say today you are fasting. Every day, those kids are hungry. And what this new outreach did was provide a little bit of relief. So those parents could go home and take that and throw it in the oven and turn it on to 350 and in a few minutes have a hot meal cooked and prepared with loving hands of people that got together and had every picture I saw, it looked like they were playing, having fun to me. It looked like a bunch of little kids playing in the kitchen. They were laughing, cutting up, but working hard, preparing amazing meals. Why? To be a witness in our Jerusalem. In Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So faith that stands is also faith that produces. And that's my third point today, is as we look at faith that produces, we look at a faith that chooses to look forward and not backward. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the absolute reality of something you might not see in the natural. You know, 6 years ago, when I got diagnosed and the doctor told Suzanne and I a few things, but one of the things he said was, you'll probably never meet another person with multiple myeloma, maybe in your lifetime. I thought, wow, that's awesome and great. Where's my phone? I'm not getting my steps counted if I don't have my phone. It's important. Every Sunday afternoon, I check my steps. No, I'm not looking at steps. But faith that God has planted in us is something that's supposed to grow and ultimately produce. Every person in this room this morning, hear me, please. One day you're going to depart this world and you're going to stand in the presence of God. And the question will be, not your salvation, that's been determined by your decision to surrender your life to Christ. But hear me, you will stand before God and give an account. For what? For your works, for your actions, for what your life produced. I promise you, you do not want to stand before God with regret and excuses. Suzanne and I were watching a movie yesterday that I'd heard about, it's based on a true story about a young black musician whose dad had died. He was very impacted by the events around him, and he had lost hope. And he was with his guitar and his skateboard. He went into a park. And he lays his guitar down by a tree, lays his skateboard down, and you see the hurt in his eyes, the anguish. Tears literally were running down his cheek as he opens his backpack and pulls out a rope because he was going to hang himself in the park of the city, Philadelphia. And he throws the rope up over a tree limb, and he puts it around his neck, and he's standing on a branch when all of a sudden this voice, this homeless man, spoke up, startled him. And he said, son, if you're gonna do it, you gotta do it right. That rope's not gonna hold you and that tree limb's gonna break. So if you need some help doing this, take that rope off and hand it to me and I'll tie you a knot that'll work for what you want to accomplish. He wasn't wanting him to commit suicide. He's wanting him to take that rope from around his neck. They built a relationship, bonded together. It's a powerful story. I wept so hard, my eyes were stinging as I watched this story unfold. And the old gentleman, homeless man, 30 years, he told his whole story to the young man, KJ. And his name was Barry. And he told the story of his wife and coming home and being a soldier and meeting this beautiful woman and eventually getting engaged, married, and had a child. And the day he was driving his wife and child home from the hospital, a drunk driver careened through, hit him, killed his wife and his baby. And from that point on, his life began to go down. And he changed or swallowed the pain with alcohol. But in this moment of him coming to his senses and beginning to pour his life into this young man to try to help him, it impacted his life. See, what so many of those that even stood up here and shared their testimony or their testimony of what their teams didn't accomplish, I can promise you this, their lives and your lives were more impacted last week serving than probably 90% of the people we actually served. We're impacted because we're walking out obedience for the day and hour that we live in. Not looking backwards, not dreaming about tomorrow. Matter of fact, Barry said to get KJ in one of the nights when they were outside their little tent where they were camping out over the city. And Barry was challenging KJ to follow his dream and to turn back and forgive his mom and deal honestly, confront the issues of his life and not to waste it away. And he says, when your time on this earth is over, be left with memories, not dreams. I thought about that. Man, we're called to have dreams and visions, but we're not called to have dreams so that we can sit around and dream about our dreams. I want my desire for this coming year is that every person in this house can dream a dream bigger than them, have a vision that only God can help them fulfill. But to get out and do something as a witness to God's love to the earth that we live in. This is our generation, and this is our time. And we can excuse it away, or we can jump up and say, where can I serve? What can I do? Faith chooses to look forward and not backward. I got to give you a scripture. You'll think I didn't preach today. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 to 16 says this. And you're going to hear me read about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah. And all five of these people had one thing in common. They all died in faith. Faith which was based on a belief system that says, even if I have not yet seen it, I still believe. Still believe. Hebrews 11, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return again. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. As I close this morning, I want to encourage you to stir your faith for works, works of kindness, works of love, works of servanthood, works of giving, that come out of a vision for your life to count. I don't want to stand before God with regret. I just don't. I don't want to stand before God and be reminded of all that Jesus accomplished for me. And I have excuses why I couldn't accomplish for him what he had graced me to do. There's so many illustrations and stories that come to my mind as I think about this process of finishing strong, accomplishing that which the Father placed in you, the ability to do and to be, to touch lives, to encourage, to help, to serve. Faith that produces hope and peace and love. Those things you have the ability to do and accomplish because he first loved us. So I want to say thank you one last time to all of you that prayed, that gave offerings, that served, that worked, outside of your comfort zone. The Monday of Reach Week, Pastor Ron and I went to St. Francis' house, and we walked in the side door, and it looked like utter chaos. It looked like somebody had set a bomb off. They did. Her name is Heidi Tomlin. Man, Heidi went in there as a force of nature. Finally, by Thursday, the director asked her to leave. She said, thank you for all y'all done. We can't handle any more of you right now. And if you know Heidi, you understand that. But we made an impact. And some of the people that were there working, I was walking around, finding people in red shirts, introducing myself to them. Hi, I'm Pastor George from The Rock. Who are you? You're wearing a red shirt. I asked Jamie about a family that's sitting in here right now. I said, who is that couple back there with those beautiful kids? He said, oh, yeah, I just met them on Reach Week, and they told me they've been here for 5 years. Some people are quiet. Some people don't need me. I'd love to meet every person that comes in here, obviously. I'm a lover and a hugger and a kisser, and especially babies. But no matter what our personalities are, let us not use them as an excuse. Because God has entrusted his world with us. That's the coolest thought to me. I told y'all this a couple weeks ago. God looks down and he delights in you. He's happy with you. Man, so many of us, we're one more sin away from thinking God's gonna baseball bat us into hell. And he's not. He's full of grace and mercy. Now, he also requires, always have to justify that in this day and age, because man, we like to take grace and make it cheap. Grace is not cheap. Ooh, don't preach right there. I might preach that next week. So thank you to all of you. And my prayer is that this coming year, as we have needs, we reach out. You know, one of the things you saw in the video, most of you don't know this family, and they're actually a part of North Central Baptist Church. I talked about her last week, tried to read that little text from her mom thanking us. I did not realize that her, KJ's grandfather, works for Miss Erica at the Rock School. And so many of you in this house know this family. And what we did for someone that's a part of another church family brought tears to me. I was grateful and thankful that our ability to love goes outside of the walls of the Rock of Gainesville. This is our home. This is our family. Man, I love our family. Love every part of our family, good, bad, and the ugly. And there's a little bit of all of it. Sometimes you're good. Sometimes you're ugly. But God loves us. And he forgives us. And he graces us. And he builds us and he helps us. So I want to encourage you. Start looking for opportunities. Number one, get in a small group if you're not in group. It's not my notes, but this is, get in a small group, a connect group. You need to be in a group. Because out of that group, whole groups can learn to serve and touch and help and reach out. And the more we reach out, the more we love, guess what? The more needs there are, because the more people find out that we're really good cheap labor. We're not cheap, but we do labor. And we do it well. So thank you for your love, for your heart. Thank you for raising up a generation of children. When Deborah was talking about the day they all met for the kids to start working on their cards for the first responders, the police officers, deputy sheriffs, state troopers. I love those pictures. But I was here, I went into that room, and it looked like one big, massive party of red t-shirts. The kids were so excited. The minute I walked in, kids had to run up and show me what they were drawing. We got some artists in this room, man. We got four-year-olds that can draw, stay inside the lines. I told them, man, I'd be all outside that line. No, Pastor, I was never a colorer. But kids got together and served. And a lot of them might not fully understand the big picture, but he does. And they will grow in grace and love, and they will grow to be people that make a difference in the world that we live in. Amen? Stand with me, if you will. I'm going to pray over us as we ready to go out of here today, and Pastor, somebody's going to come up, close the service in a minute. He's a new pastor on our staff, Pastor Somebody. I don't know who's coming up, but they do. So join with me, and I want to just water all the works that we did with our prayer. Seal it by the Holy Spirit. Ask God to continue to let us see a harvest come out of seed that was planted. So join with me. Father, in the name of the Lord, right now, we just pause for a moment to say thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Father, that you so loved us that you gave us your only son. Before we went out to reach our city, you reached into our hearts and you revealed your love for us through your son, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, for everyone in this room that has not yet received the Holy Spirit, they have not invited the Holy Spirit into their life. I pray, Father, for the supernatural to be stirred up in people's hearts, that they will begin to hunger for the more of God. Amen. That they will seek. And your word promises that we find when we seek. When we pursue, you give. And so I pray, Lord, over every one of our people in our house, over all the little ones, Father, as they come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, get saved, get water baptized, I pray, Father, that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit and power, power that will change lives, beginning with their own. We pray over all the seed that was planted over these last couple of weeks and all the months of preparation that went into this. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just do what you do well. Continue to touch, reach out, teach, comfort, help. All the needs that are there will continually be met. We pray for those that we did touch, the homeless, those that are hungry a lot, those that are destitute, those that are without shelter and homes. We pray over them, Father, that you would show your great love through us, your people. That without judgment, we will touch every life that we have an opportunity to touch. We will go out of our way to serve. And I pray, Father, that every seed that was planted through the works of the people of this house, that in due season, a harvest will come. Father, that what we planted, others will water. And what others water, some will receive the harvest. And so we pray over that, and we thank you for the assurance that what we did will not go unnoticed in heaven, but that all that we did, even as your word encourages and challenges us, we did for the glory of the Lord. And we pray, Father, that you would be glorified in our community. I give you thanks and praise for it, and everybody said a big amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org.